What is going on, all you constant listeners out there in the multiverse? You're listening to the Earth 16 Comics Wire podcast. I am your host, Brian of Earth 16, and in this episode, I'm going to be speaking with Tobin Rassicot, who comes back to the Earth 16 Comics Wire to talk about his graphic novel comic book, Pilgrim's Dirge. You don't want to miss this. What is going on, you constant listeners out there in the multiverse? As the old saying goes, it's been a while, boys and girls. Just wanted to give you an update of what I've been doing over the last couple months. So, just to let you all know, I'm still 100% committed to the podcast, but I've come to realize that for me, it's probably going to be a once or twice a month podcast. I've thought about doing it every week, but since I've been really busy, I've been looking at making it more of a monthly or twice a monthly podcast just to accommodate for my busy schedule. Because if you've probably seen on my Instagram, Brian from Earth 16, which you can go check out, I've been doing a whole lot of cosplaying as of late. And I cosplayed about a month and a half ago at Phoenix Fan Fusion. It was really fun. I cosplayed as King Ezekiel from Walking Dead, Mr. Knight from Moon Knight, Leda Getas, and Rock from Pokemon. It was really fun, and I'm looking into doing that a little bit more, but I'm still going to be totally committed to the podcast. And you can definitely check out the podcast at Earth 16 Comics Wire on Twitter, and also or Earth 16 Podcast on Twitter and Earth 16 Comics Wire on Instagram, where I'm going to post more videos. I'm also looking into posting more sound bites. And just to keep in mind, I'm still really new at this thing, and I apologize if I didn't post this. I promise I would, but I'm looking at adjusting to my schedule as my schedule allows, and my energy too as well. So there's going to still be more content out there, but I'm just, so you know, it's going to be, like I said, this podcast is probably going to be like once or twice a month. And I'm even thinking about also, in addition to interviewing comic creators, I'm also thinking about interviewing cosplayers as well. So if you're a cosplayer and you want to, if you're listening and you're a cosplayer and you want to be on my show, just hit me up, DM me, send me an email, brianofearth16@gmail.com. You can definitely, or I think it's Earth 16 Geeks Wire podcast. It was a different name for the Earth 16 Comics Wire I was coming up with. But, you know, I'm even thinking about changing the name of the podcast too, perhaps. Like, maybe the Earth 16 Comics and Cosplaying Wire, perhaps the Earth 16 Geeks Wire. I don't know, but we'll see. But otherwise, I'm going to be focusing. I'm still, like I said, I'm still 100% committed to the podcast. I'm still 100% committed to the comics. Just I need to do something that's going to accommodate my schedule. And I'm also looking into creating a video, you know, more videos for unboxing, so you'll occasionally see me unbox something like an action figure perhaps. I'm actually planning on unboxing a figure of Zenitsu Agisama from Demon Slayer. It's gonna be exciting. I'm looking to doing it sometime soon, so be on the lookout for that, ladies and gentlemen. And another reason why I've been really busy too is because if you go over to the Daily Planet and also Dark Side of the Force, I write for those publications also. I'm taking up more of an editorial role as well. So I'm looking, like I said, I'm looking at ways to accommodate for my busy schedule. So that way I can still do my podcast, but, you know, just to, again, it's going to accommodate my schedule. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So it's very likely the Earth 16 Comics Wire is going to be a once or twice a month podcast going forward. But once I get more time, or once I have possibly even if more guests come, then we'll see about changing the format. But for now, it's just going to stay a monthly or twice a month podcast. So there we have it. So having said all that, I'm going to, in this latest episode, I'm going to be speaking with Tobin Rassicot. He's been a guest before on my podcast. Always a joy to have on, along with his wife. He's the creator of Pilgrim's Dirge and Crown and Anger, again, along with his wife, Alaire. Really awesome people. And I spoke to Tobin about the second issue of Pilgrim's Dirge, which you can actually find on Kickstarter right now. And in case if you don't remember from the previous episode I had with Tobin on Pilgrim's Dirge, it's Pilgrim's Dirge is about a man trying to get back home he's stranded on a frozen Earth, and he's trying to get back home to his family after deserting a military organization that he was once a part of. Really fascinating story, and just the way it was written is really awesome as well. And in addition to that, we also have fan questions. So we talk a lot about Final Fantasy, all this funny stuff. It's really awesome. So without further ado, here's my interview with Tobin Rassicot. Enjoy, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on, all you console listeners out there? Welcome to the Earth 16 Comics Wire. I'm your host, Brian Earth 16. Back after a long hiatus, and you know, it happens. I mean, I actually went to a convention, so Phoenix Fan Fusion, for those of you who don't know, it means a fan it's a convention in my local town of Phoenix, my city of Phoenix, so had a lot of fun. But right now I'm back and doing the podcast, and with me is my guest. You know him, you probably have heard him or seen him on this podcast so many times. He is the creator of Crown and Anchor, of SideQuest. It's the one and only Tobin Rassicot.
Hello. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks for having me back. This is really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you sound like you're surprised I remember all that. Yeah, I mean, how you been?
Things have been well. We've been busy. In the middle of a heat wave up here, which has been fun, but
Canada?
To stay cool. Yeah, we have some... I don't know what it translates to in Fahrenheit, but like mid-30s Celsius.
Yeah.
So it's pretty high. It's been warm. So eating lots of ice cream and staying in front of the AC.
Maybe so it's been good. Wrong with ice cream. What's your favorite ice cream?
So I've recently been exposed to like a combo. So we had some friends over, and typically like if we host, whoever we invite over will bring dessert. So they brought... like chocolate brownie Haagen-Dazs and salted caramel Haagen-Dazs, and so if you mix two, it is glorious. So that's what I've been eating when I work on comics and stuff in the evenings lately. It's so nice. It's good.
For me, it's like, you know, I can't eat too much ice cream because of sugar, so I had to eat like stevia or coconut, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, but this sounds like a really good concoction. So I mean. Could be really creative too. So yeah, glad to have you back. And we're gonna be talking about, you know, Pilgrim's Dirge 2, which is on Kickstarter right now. I've read the comic myself, and dude, it's an absolute banger.
Thanks.
Definitely. And with the comic, I've read, like, it looks like, you know, it looks like it's coming along. The story's progressing really, you know, it wowed me completely, and I feel like there's a lot of Stargate vibes to it, and it's like a mixture of like all the stories that we know, like the redemption story. It's also a mixture of like, you have that, and then you have just a dude who wants to come back to his family. And you know, that you can't, you know, I mean, that's a really cool story. And I was just wondering, like, you know, what vibes did you get when writing issue number 2? Because we already read issue number 1, which was, you know, in itself is awesome, though. But issue number 2, you know, everything just starts to, like, really unravel.
Yeah, so the challenge with issue 2 was trying to set up the scope of what's really going on. And that's tricky, because what the objective for number 1 is to get to know Orin specifically, right? What is the reason that he's on Earth? What is he kind of running away from or hiding from? And then issue 2 was really like, when we see what's actually out there, how minuscule does he feel kind of in the grand scheme of things? Like, he's this teeny little cog in the machine of everything that's going on. And so being exposed to the new races and finding out a little bit more of what actually kind of Core's objective is with him and stuff, the challenge was to now set the stage of like, okay, we know who Orin is, and like, this is now really his quest and like, what's at stake? And so figuring out how to do that and to really catch in. And so I hope that, you know, the last couple page sequence gets that, of because it's supposed to be this twist of like, oh, this is where we're headed, in a way that the first couple issues, or the first one especially, was just, again, focusing on Orin, but this is really the macro level of this is how messed up the galaxy is.
And I feel like, too, like, it's a whole lot of world building, I think, mm-hmm. too. I mean, especially with how jacked up the galaxy is. And it's like, you really start to see how serious things are. And, like, yeah. the fact that, you know, he feels responsible, too, for all that. And, you know, bad enough that our planet in this comic is a frozen tundra.
yeah.
Yeah, and, but right now they need to, like, figure out, like, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, telling him, especially, you know, before all this, Kor, who he used to be a part of, telling him that it's our mission, it's our life's duty to bring the solar system back into where it was for all of humanity. But, you know, you kind of get to the, I feel like you kind of get to the question, like, okay, so all of humanity is one thing, but how about all for all living things?
Yeah, exactly.
Like other aliens and all that. Kind of gets you the question that,
yeah, that's exactly right. Because, I mean, that's one of the things that I wanted to kind of examine in this story is, you know, whether it's, I mean, it's kind of a one-to-one thing where in the story, right, humanity is really focused on itself. And I think that whether it's, you know, a state or a province or a country, right, we kind of focus in on ourselves or, you know, the like-minded people and we just band together. But really, as difficult as it is, like, we have to look outside of that and try to get along with everybody and collaborate. That's the verb that I like to use most, because that's really the only way that progress happens, right? If we stay kind of siloed off, there will be these thresholds which we won't be able to cross. And that's really what Orin has figured out. Like, he's, you know, spent 3 years on Earth not really making progress. And it's not really until he gets out of that comfort zone that he's able to go, oh, okay, I did need somebody else's help, and they're going to be able to, you know, get me on that trajectory of recovery or, you know, whatever the kinds of things are. But that's really, yeah, the scope of things is that we need others' help at some point. You know, we can only do so much ourselves, I guess.
And we see a lot of that in issue two as well, like when he goes with that group, not to spoil it though, but he goes with that group because he knows that, or at least at that time, he knows that's his only ticket home.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, instead of just selling scrap like he was doing in the first issue. And but then along the way, he also starts to encounter people in the group that that kind of, like, if you will, trigger certain memories and all that, like, of his time on Kor. And even one of them brings up his service and says, like, I know exactly what happened. You know, I know what you did. And there's actually, you know, I feel like there's a deep reason as to why he did what he did.
Mm.
I feel. I mean, like, you know, because, like, I think, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was implied, like, I mean, from what I've read, it looks like he killed all those soldiers that he was fighting alongside for some reason. He had a reason.
Right.
And why he's a wanted man. I mean, and, you know, I think, you know, I mean, obviously, we're probably going to, you know, we're eventually going to find out what went down. I mean, and it's probably going to be like a huge twist, I'd imagine.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely yes, you will find out what occurred in that cave. And the way that I set it up is, if you have things like that, obviously not of that scale, hopefully, in your past, but, you know, things that you're ashamed of in your past, if people mention them, you really are just like, well, it's probably easier either to confirm their knowledge and so that they're like, yeah, I know what's going on, mm-hmm. whether it's true or not, rather than, you know, getting down to the nitty gritty of it with somebody that you don't know or you don't trust or something like that. So when the reveal does happen, like, Orin's going to have to come to a point where he trusts people enough to be able to be vulnerable. And that's really the key, is, like, by branching out. The reason I think it's so hard to talk to others when you're going through difficult things is you have to say, like, hey, I'm not strong enough to, like, get to where I need to be. And so to divulge that kind of information, right, to say those things and to reveal those past traumas or past incidents is really, really tricky for Orin, because he's just kind of fallen out of the practice of talking to others and having to rely on them, because he's been able to survive well enough on his own on Earth, right? It's not like he was in dire straits. Obviously, he wasn't getting enough to leave quickly, but he had enough to survive. And so when the reveal comes, he's going to be in a place, hopefully, that's a lot better so that he can say, like, hey, I trust you enough. Here's what actually happened. Like, help me fix it and help me get back to my family, essentially, right?
Yeah. And I also think, too, like, what's going to really play a role in that is just that he has, like, a part of a sword that he got from a dying alien. And then, like, mm-hmm. he also has, like, another part right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's going to, I feel like that's going to somewhat play a role in it. And I think we're going to definitely find out, too, like, what happened to his family. Because 3 years is a lot can happen in 3 years. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for all we know, his, you know, he could, you know, I mean, something could have happened to his family. I mean, I'm not wishing like bad, but you know, who knows?
Yeah, it is a long time. And I think that I'm not sure why I landed on 3 years, but I think it makes sense because like 1 year, you know, things don't really change. 2 years, I think things are kind of just changing. But then 3 years, it's like, you know, it's almost 5 years. That's, or like 3 years, it's essentially what you're done university almost by that point, right? So like that's a good sequence of time.
It's kicking four.
Yeah
and like it really actually reminds me of like the, you know, the Star Wars series The Bad Batch, where
okay.
after Order 66 things just, you start to see like, you know, the Republic turning into the Empire,
right? Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Clones.
I definitely didn't design a whole lot of, I mean, the similarities are there, obviously, because you're picking them up. But I definitely didn't think about that kind of stuff when designing Core. Core was just kind of like, we need what would you say? Core is kind of the foundation, right? All the stuff that happened with Core happens to set up Orin's story. But thinking about mm-hmm. the similarities between, because you said Stargate, right? So like Stargate,
Stargate, Star Wars, kind of thing. Found some Stargate vibes to it.
Yeah, so it's like it's there, but I think that that's just in sci-fi. Typically, it's either like some kind of corporation or some kind of government that is overstepping its reaches and causing some kind of dystopia to exist. And that's definitely the situation in this one. But I hadn't thought about the kind of relation to the Empire.
But I feel like that's kind of like the Odyssey, too, in a sense. I mean, Horn story, where Odysseus tries to get back, you know, to his family, but then Poseidon is just being a bully and, like, punking him around and all that, you know?
Yeah, I think that one, yeah. That one definitely has more. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
It's the funness of Zoom talks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll say definitely that's probably a more conscious characteristic of it is, right, because the hero's journey, typically you start in your like safe spot, right? You start in the Shire, you leave the Shire, and then you come back.
Yep.
In the Odyssey, it's mostly just we got to get home. It's not even we're leaving then coming back, it's just we're going back. So I think that's really interesting. I probably thought of that because I did study that book in university and stuff, and the idea of each kind of island being, you know, like a planet, if you will, to like video game it in a way.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now we're on this stage. Okay, well, now we got to overcome the sirens. Okay, now we're on the next stage. We got to overcome, you know, Scylla and Charybdis in the next stage. So, yeah, and I think of that when I write stories, like, what's the next boss, right, essentially?
Exactly. Like,
what is the next hurdle that needs to
come? It's like Final Fantasy, man.
Yeah. Next obstacle, next dungeon you got to get through. Yeah, that's definitely the way that I think about structure is just, like, what is the next bad guy that I have to be able to overcome? Yeah.
I feel like Walking Dead was kind of written like that too, in a sense where there's always a big bad, you know.
Yeah.
You got like the Shane, the governor,
mm-hmm.
and you have like the cannibals that they were eating people, and then like you have Negan.
Yeah,
Negan's one of my favorite characters. I mean, I have like a cool statue of him right here.
Nice. Yeah. with Lucille, right? That's his bat.
Yep, that's his bat.
It's been a long time since I've read Walking Dead. Did you finish reading? Have you read all of it?
I've actually finished reading it. Like all, okay. I think it was like all 150, I think it was like 170 issues, I think it was. Yeah.
I think I dropped out. It might have been, I think they had just kind of got over the Negan area. It was before like the Whisperers or something.
Yeah,
somewhere
before
around
the
there,
Whisperers
I think
with Alpha.
Where I stopped. Yeah. that might be interesting to go back to during the summer.
it's a really fun and crazy read, and it almost went over to 200 issues, and it's really awesome story, and you know, the end is really, you know, the end I think was great too. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for you though, but you know, it's just, yeah, the end is, I think honestly, in my opinion, even though I like the show and all, although I think the comic is way better than the show.
Are there shows that you think are better than the comics? I'm always interested to hear people's answer in that.
Well, you know, it depends on how it's written, you know. Okay. I mean, there's some aspects of the show that are actually better than the comic, but okay. You know, overall, I like the comic, you know.
Yeah.
But the show kind of got me into the comic too, so, you know.
Okay, that's good. Yep.
But, you know, at the same time though, I mean, just the way it was written though, it's just, wow, you know.
Very much unlike anything that existed in that day and age.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, all right. That's going back on my list. Because I have been thinking, I need to start reading more comics. So maybe I'll
me
go back
too. And
watch.
Like, I'm, that'll I'm keep me busy. I'm trying to, like, read and all that. And, like, you know, I'm busy schedule, man. Yeah, so, and speaking of comics, going back to Pilgrim's Dirge, I mean, I don't know if I've asked you this question before, though. Maybe I have. But I was just wondering, like, how'd you come up with the name Pilgrim's Dirge?
That's funny. No, we haven't talked about that before. So that's a really good question. And it's really interesting because I think of all the things that are challenging about writing comics, I think naming the thing is the hardest.
Oh, yeah.
So there's definitely some books that get it right and it's perfect. So something like Moonshine from Image, I think, has one of the best names to like what the story's about. So Moonshine is about werewolves in like the Prohibition era.
That makes sense.
Right. Moonshine. So you got Moonshine from like the Hooch, Moonshine from the Moon Lycanthropy. It's like, it's beautiful. It's so fantastic. I think that is like the best comic name to match that. So Pilgrim's Dirge came from this concept of, right, the journey. So when you take a journey, you know, if you're a legit pilgrim in the sense of like, I'm going to go see a holy land and then come back, like the kind of change that happens from that. And so that again is more about like, I need to make it to this place. And then that place kind of changes me. And then I come back changed. Mm-hmm. And then there's stuff like pioneers, right? Where it's like, we're not really sure where we're going, but we want something better. And so there's a lot of different of those kinds of like, what are the terms that are associated with people who go on journeys?
Nomads.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, right? And so I was like, okay, well, there's a little bit of theology, mostly because I think that writing about like polytheistic systems is really interesting. And so we'll eventually kind of get to that kind of stuff in Pilgrim's Dirge. It's not a huge focus, but so I was like, hey, there's a little bit of religious examination in it, but it's mostly about this personal growth. And so if Orin is a character who needs to go on a journey to develop his character, I think Pilgrim is applicable because there's some kind of self-discovery. And in one sense, you could argue like that is a religious thing. In the other sense, it's just, it's manifesting itself in a way that like, okay, well, I'm a better person, so I'm making progress, right? So then you have Pilgrim's progress. So there's like a lot of kind of literary stuff I was thinking about as well in that. So that's where Pilgrim comes from, is just like a person who takes a journey and the journey hopefully is successful in terms of amplifying their character. So then dirge is an interesting concept in the sense that it's kind of like a funeral song played at funeral to commemorate the life of someone who, you know, is no longer with us or something. And so that comes from this concept of change is difficult. And sometimes we mourn things that are no longer comfortable, or they're no longer, you know, as nostalgic or right, like that kind of stuff. So it's less about kind of this tragedy of perhaps what Kor caused or that kind of thing, and more just about like moving forward is hard, because letting go of stuff is hard.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of the two things, is like, as much as Orin wants to get home, right, it's 3 years in a space doing something that he's very familiar with, it's a pattern, it's a schedule, it's a routine, like letting go of that stuff, letting go of your safety nets is difficult and tricky, right? And then of course, as you read in issue 2, now he starts to see like, whoa, my understanding of what existence was like so minute, and there's so much out here that he and the rest of humanity don't really understand, because they're just like, yeah, we're going to stay in our corner and that's all that we really need, right? So that's kind of where the two overlap is. Personal development is tricky, therefore, you know, there's going to be this kind of sadness of like, I don't really want to let go, because that's mm-hmm. what I've known for so long, but yeah. hopefully there's something better on the other side. Yeah.
And it's almost like he's getting in his own way too, in a sense, like, mm-hmm. you know, with his past, and, you know, in a sense, he's just really, he's really upset at what he did. Obviously.
Right.
He's really upset at what he took part in. And, yep. you know, I think that's going to really tie into what happened in that cave. And,
yep.
you know, I didn't even think about that. I mean, especially the meaning of dirge. It was just, mm-hmm. that's, you know, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely becomes a bit more, I mean, hopefully issue two is kind of the spark for that. But then the rest of it is definitely much more like, oh, okay, yeah, there's like a tone of what's going on in the book that is very sad and melancholy, despite kind of Orin. It almost like switches where Orin starts really sad, and the world in the sense of like core and stuff is like, yeah, you know, very triumphant. And it kind of switches mm-hmm. as the story goes around, where Orin starts to become more confident, and he gets his groove back, if you will. And then the rest of the world is like, oh yeah, no, this is a messed up place.
Yeah. So it's almost like a rebirth in a sense too. Mm-hmm. You know, he's getting his swagger back. He, it almost reminds me of Old Man Logan too, in a sense.
Okay, interesting.
Written by Mark Waid. I think it was written mm-hmm. by Mark Waid, I want to say. Yeah, it was one of my favorite comics too. And, you know, if you read it, you know, basically Logan, you know, obviously is, you know, he lives to be an old man, but he's just plagued and haunted with the memories of killing the X-Men.
Yeah.
Because Mysterio tricked him. He mm-hmm. messed with his head. And he has to live out in this post-apocalyptic version of the United States. And, you know, the state of California is run by the Hulk, who's become more corrupted. And, like, he has several of it's the Hulk basically becomes a redneck in the comic. And he has, like, his cousins, like, you know,
Betsy and
like they're all over the place in the Playboy Mansion too, yeah. trying to, you know, do Lord knows what. But, you know, it's just that, you know, he sets off into a journey, but he's reluctant though. But, you know, he's doing it for his family, because, you know, the Hulks are coming after him, saying that, look, dude, if you don't pay your rent, we're gonna beat you up. And you
right.
know, Logan is just, you know, the amazing way with how Logan was written in that comic was just that he's not himself. Like, it's like, dude, yeah. that is not Wolverine. And, like, yeah. when I saw the flashback where it shows him, like, this, like, his claws are out and he goes right after the Hulk, I'm like, you know, but then he goes back to him, he's like, you know what, just give me my beating. And I'm like, what the, you know, it's like,
yeah.
who is this guy? And, like, you know, it's not towards the end of, like, when he finally, you know, gets the money for his family, like, he kills the Red Skull, who's become president of the United States. Spoiler alert for those, you know, of you who are listening. You know, that's when he sees his family killed by the Hulks, because they said, like, okay, we won't touch him unless you get the rent money. But, you know, his neighbor says that, hey, you were late. And that's when the real Wolverine comes out. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a great comic. Yeah. 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 Trying to figure out, like, what is the best course of action to preserve what you want to preserve is tricky.
And it's a really tricky one. And, you know, yeah, I mean, especially with the way, like, you know, some of these characters are written, you know. And I think it was perfect for Old Man Logan, because I think, you know, we know Wolverine to be as, you know, he's really violent, you know.
Right.
And, you know, no one takes shit from Wolverine, you know. I mean, he doesn't
yeah.
take shit from anybody, actually. I should say it like that, you know. He's no nonsense. But, you know, in this comic, though, he does, like, a completely different person throughout the
yeah.
first part of the story. And it's like, you know, dude, that is not Wolverine.
Yeah, that's another one I'll have to put on my reading list.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. I would recommend. So so definitely the issue was a banger. For those who read the comic, we know that Orin does go through has to go through a lot to face some challenges when trying to get back home to his family. Without spoiling it, like what challenges do you think he's gonna like encounter?
What can I preview for the next little bit?
Yeah.
So the kind of the big one in issue two is that he meets like the first kind of main alien race that we spend a lot of time with. So that's Raiha. We've previewed her with some art and stuff, and that's one of the prints that backers can get in the second second issue's Kickstarter. So Raiha. So that's a race of aliens called the Cryophods, and the whole idea is that they're essentially like ice crabs, but they're magic, so they're like cryomancers, right? So they can bend ice,
That's
have ice
awesome.
powers.
That's
So
so
that's,
hero.
yeah, exactly. So that's the first big group. And then there's a couple others that some of them are friendly, some of them are foes, trying to bounce them out. So I would say, without spoiling too much, like the setup in terms of, issue one and issue two is kind of very science fiction, and then we take a left turn into fantasy pretty quick. Obviously, you saw the last page of issue two, so there's some stuff that's not typical to science fiction, right? So we dive into that pretty fast, and then that's where a lot of the rest of it remains. And so kind of the quest picks up quite a bit from that. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else happens. And then I guess it's like, if you remember the first alien he met in issue one, the one who crash lands, like that comes back eventually as well. So we're going to eventually get to a point where that race is more important than just the, kind of the call to action, if you will.
All right, cool. Yeah, we're kind of running low on time because of the whole Zoom thing. I mean,
Yeah, what are you going to
right.
do?
So, I mean, I got several questions from several of our listeners actually. They actually reached out and
Oh, sweet.
they wanted to ask you some questions. Let's see here. I'm trying to find it here. Here's one from Leslie Julian. And head cases, and this is from Twitter, and he wants to know how did you get into lettering?
Okay, that's a fun story. So basically, when Alaire and I started making web comics back in university, I would feel really guilty because I would be at home playing Halo with my roommates, and she'd be in the computer labs working until midnight trying to get pages done. And so I thought, that's not fair. I should be pulling my weight a little bit more. So, I don't know how to color, and I didn't want to learn how to color. So I thought, I can do lettering because you're basically just copying and pasting. Turns out, obviously there's much more than just copying and pasting going on in it. But I did it for a couple months, and then I went to a comic convention and met Ed Brisson, if you know that writer. He writes at Marvel now, but he used to be very much just an indie pub or a creator, publishing stuff through Image. So he lettered stuff like Rat Queens when it first launched, and Shudder, and a whole bunch of different things. So basically I said, hey, I want to letter, you letter, can you get me started? So we swapped emails back and forth for a bunch and different tutorials and things. And then that was the foundation of it. And then a lot of what came the next year essentially was me sending my portfolio to like the Marvel editor and a whole bunch of other letters and things like that, getting feedback. Yeah, so it basically started from, I need to do more than just be like, I'm gonna write these scripts and you do the rest of the hard work. Yeah. Just finding a need or finding a way that I could contribute more to the projects.
All right, so here's one from, let's see, Bald Beard. Can't read this actually. Looks a little Greek, but Bald Bearded something. Who is the superior crane and why is it Niles?
Referencing Frasier, the sitcom.
Oh yeah, I remember
So,
Frasier.
okay. So Niles is the best crane, first because he actually gets what he wants in the end, which is always good. It's good to have a happy ending. But I think Niles's style of humor is hilarious in the show. So he kind of shifts where in the early seasons he has these really funny, like, I'm late for my, or no, he's like, I'm selling raffle tickets and I'm hoping to offload the rest of them to my like compulsive gambling therapy group. Like he would have these kind of setup and punchlines of whatever the situation is going to be either solved or exacerbated by the therapy group that he's running that week and stuff. So yeah, there's just a subtlety. And I mean, David Hyde Pierce is a hilarious comedian in a very kind of subtle way as well. So definitely Niles, I would vote for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching Frasier with my old man. I mean, he loves that show.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
All right, so Casey Flynn wants to know, what's been your favorite thing about growing up in Canada?
That's a really good question. There's a lot of things, and I don't want to get super political, obviously, with what's going on. But the first thing that came to mind is healthcare, right?
Yeah.
So I've had, you know, some health, not like serious health things, but serious enough things where I've required surgeries and stuff. And it's a fantastic feeling to just have the stuff be done, you know, maybe spend a couple nights in the hospital and then just like walk away and not have to pay a cent, right? When my wife gave birth, we didn't pay a cent for that and stuff. Like it's bonkers to have that. Beyond that, I think growing up, I grew up in a very rural area. So we would go to like friends of the families who owned a farm and stuff and do that. So the way that you would have to engage in imagination to pass time in the summer, especially in the winter, because they're so long. So being able to do that, I think that's where a lot of my desire to tell stories and like participate in stuff like D&D comes from, is because that's what we were doing anyways. It wasn't always necessarily like gamified, but just like, let's share kind of an imaginative experience of like, you know, where we are is actually more special than what it really is, because that's going to just make it that much more interesting, I guess. So yeah, killing time that way.
Man, it sounds like fun. So this is from Alaire.
Oh, there you go. Getting in,
says,
on the action.
Who was your first video game crush?
Oh, she would ask that. Oh my goodness. It would probably be... Lin from the first Fire Emblem. So Lin is one of the like main characters of the 2003 Fire Emblem game. She's like this princess that you help get back to the throne. And it's been a long time since I played that game. Probably her. And then Kairi from Kingdom Hearts definitely goes on the list. And then probably, is it, oh, I don't remember her name, and I should. It's the one biotic from Mass Effect, the first one. Lyra? No, I don't know her name. Yeah, something like that. But definitely, yeah, I'd say Lin and then Kairi are probably the safe bets.
Yeah, like mine were, you know, basically, you know, Yuna from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, X-Men. That's a good one.
Like Riku. Riku's another crush.
Yeah.
And who else? Anna Williams from Tekken.
Okay.
Yeah. And mostly from the Final Fantasy games.
yeah Yuna and Riku, those are good ones. And I love that that's like in the game, right? You have to like make the choices to
pick which one you like. She's another one. And let's see, got a couple more. Freaking Zoom. Anyway, Grennington Bear wants to know, how would your life be changed if your fingers were a cocktail shrimp?
Oh, goodness. I probably wouldn't type as well. Not that I type great now anyways. Lettering would definitely be trickier. I'd be very abashed when I'd have to pay with like a credit card. So I'd probably just wear gloves, or I'd have surgery to get it removed.
There you go.
I just avoid the problem as best I could.
And since you live in Canada, you know, I mean, they'd be totally cool with that.
I don't know if cosmetic surgery is covered. I imagine some part of it is, but it's not something I've had to worry about.
All right, so I think we have time for one more. Let's see here. Maybe we can grab one from... Let's see. Oh, we'll go back to Leslie Julian, and he wants to know, how long do you envision Pilgrim's Dirge being?
Oh, that's a great question to end on. So Pilgrim's Dirge will be a 5-issue series. So the whole thing is written. It was one of the first ones that I completed back in 2020 during the, you know, start of the pandemic. So it's 5 issues. Obviously, we're trying to get number 2 funded. So if we can get that funded, we'll try for number 3 and keep on going. What it equates to is what? So it's like 24 times 5 plus this. The last issue is a little bit oversized. The first issue was slightly oversized. So it works out to what? 100? About 160-ish pages altogether. And I was talking actually with Alaire the other day, because she picked up some books at a convention that she went to over the weekend. And there was a hardcover, and I thought that'd be really cool to do as the trade instead of just doing a softcover trade, do like hardcover trade, you know, put the prints in the back, bonus covers and stuff like that. So if we get there, right, that's the big carrot
that's
in front
the goal,
of us.
Yeah,
do a nice hardcover collector's deluxe edition kind of thing. That'd be really fun. So
Now that we're wrapping up, where can we find you on social media and all that?
Yeah, I'm not super active. Well, I am during campaigns, but it's just at Tobin Rossico on Twitter. The best way actually is to go to rossico.art and you can sign up for the newsletter that Alaire and I produce. So we put one out every 3 weeks so you can stay up to date with us. And lately it's been like, where do our influences come from? What do we think about when we make stories and what are my favorite games, stuff like that. So that's been fun to do this year, actually. And then I've been doing Let's Plays on YouTube. I can plug that, youtube.com/TobinRossico.
Nice.
So that's been fun. Yeah, something to kill some free time. So that's the best places. And then I guess if you want to find Pilgrim's Dirge, go to pilgrimsdirge.com. That'll take you right to the Kickstarter. And I just posted a extended preview of issue 1. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, but you don't necessarily want to put the money down yet, go check out the extended preview to see what you're getting into. It'll be lots of fun.
All right, well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, especially as the Zoom's ending. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for listening. As I always say, stay ever so awesome. This is Brian Bird 16 signing out. Here.